The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we are back. This episode is entitled The Big Salad. In this episode, Jerry is dating this woman who he finds out a very interesting secret about her. Her name is Margaret. And Elaine is at a stationery store with Jerry early on called Stationers. Because she is looking for the mechanical pencil, the Rolamec 1000 for Mr. Pitt. Meanwhile, Kramer has a friend who he plays golf with who flips out and murders a dry cleaner, and he thinks that it's his fault. And George is dating this woman named Julie who he thinks took credit for something that he bought. What did you think of this episode?
This episode's hilarious. The A and B story, the Elaine Jerry stationary plot, and the George and Julie plot are hysterical. Well, I guess there's four stories. So the A, B, and C story are all really funny. And Kramer is just kind of picking up the rear. He doesn't really need to be there. I relate to the three characters in the A, B, and C story in some form or fashion. And I think it's a pretty funny episode.
Yeah, I think it's okay. There's a couple of great moments. Certainly the big moment with George at the end talking to Elaine is pretty hilarious, which is where the title obviously comes from. The interaction with Newman is probably my favorite in this episode. because it is like they've obviously had their Jerry and Newman have had their rivalry for, you know, the entire series, but this is just one of those really good moments of like sort of a crossover between another character and the two of them as like a proxy, which always works really well. And just showing Jerry's just utter disgust for Newman, which I appreciate. But all in all, I thought it was okay. George has some good moments, but I just didn't get enough of George in this one. Like I wanted more George, as I often do in every episode, because he's my favorite character. So the episode opens with Jerry and Elaine in a stationery store. And there's a guy there who works there, and he's a creep. Like, this guy is a creep. He's like, what did you need? And Elaine's like, I need this special mechanical pencil. And he's like, oh, I know that pencil. We don't have it. But if you give me your number, we can order it. I'm like, nah, fam, I'm good. You know, I don't even need it anymore. Look, if you worked at a stationery store, this guy makes you look like a creep. And you know what? If you work at a stationery store, you probably are.
God damn.
Look, I feel like that's not a thing that needs to exist anymore. Stationery stores? No. I went into a Staples recently, this weekend. That doesn't need to exist. Amazon is fine. Thank you.
Yeah, did it look like a used office building that just got bought out and they're cleaning everything out? Like, every stationery store I've ever been in,
it's too much open space.
It's dirty and dusty.
Yeah, like there's too much. This one wasn't dirty or dusty. It just feels like there's too much open space. Like, you don't have enough inventory to fill this building. Like, why are you all here? I'm convinced that all inventory stores or stationery stores are just mob fronts. Like, that's what they are. They are fronts for the mob.
They're all half finished.
Yeah, they are. Like, they were like, we spent all our money on Ticonderoga pencils. Sorry. Which no one uses, okay? Like, I noticed that they were in the background of this episode. No one uses Ticonderoga pencils. No, you're an anarchist. So, like, get out of here. I remember the kids who used to bring those to school. Like, they used to get beat up. Get out of here. Just give me the classic number two pencils. Fuck out of here. So he's like, all right, well, just, you know, again, he's a creep and it's very obvious. And he's like, well, give me your information and I will, I'll write it down and I'll give you a call when we get this, this infamous mechanical pencil in. And so she, smartly, like a woman in the 90s, gives her first name, but not her last name. She says that her name is just Elaine, like Cher. And, then she gives him Jerry's phone number, which is hilarious because in most TV shows and movies, they do the 555 thing. But in this one, in the Seinfeld universe, phone numbers have letters because she's like KL, like whatever.
They phones used to – people used to address phone numbers that way in like the very, very early days of telephones.
That's super weird.
Yeah, it would be – and it would be like Klondike 5 because it was it used to be a thing.
Yeah, it's KL52390.
Yeah.
That's weird. Is that still is that still 555?
Yeah, it's still 555.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
KL and I think M are associated with 5.
Oh, weird. I'm going to start doing that when I give my phone number. I'm going to do it. Like the first two digits are going to be letters and just see the response. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, get out of here. So she gives him Jerry's number. And of course, Jerry turns around like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's just like, just go with it. Just shut up. Have you ever given a woman a fake phone number, Micah?
No, but I've been given a fake number before.
As have we all.
Do you remember the rejection hotline number?
Oh, no. Did that happen to you?
Yes, yeah, sure did. I was working at a Target.
Whoa. Slow down. Is this the time you asked that girl for a number? You were kind of stalking her outside of Target that you mentioned on the show before?
No, this is a different one.
Oh, okay.
there was a girl that sat in the fitting room. They had people there to make sure that people aren't stealing and to make sure that people, you know, take the clothes out of the fitting room or whatever. And I liked her, so I was, you know, I had no game, so I'm approaching her like Porky Pig. Can I get your number? And she gave me the fucking rejection hotline number. And when I got home, I called that shit, and shit was like, "You've dialed the rejection hotline. The person that gave you this number doesn't want to be with it." Like, I was like, "God damn, bitch!"
Like, you could have just said no. You
could have just said nah.
But like, here's the thing: you use the you use the number like at a club because you'll never see the person again, but right. She clearly is going to see you again because you work together,
right? And she was just like, she was just being just an asshole. She was just being an asshole.
Wow. Like,
oh, all right. Well, fuck you, man.
Yeah, that's I've never had that happen. I've had a woman ask me for my number. And then I was like, okay, like, or no, give me her number. And I was like, wow, okay, that's like really flattering. Like, I didn't ask for it. I was not, you know, it was just completely out of the blue. And then I called it and it didn't work. I was like, what the fuck was the point of that? Like, did your phone get cut off or did you blow me off in a weird pre-rejection rejection? I was like, I wasn't gonna ask you for your phone. I was like, I just thought you were okay looking. Like, but now that you're interested in me, I know I have like a chance. Like, that's kind of cool. But and it didn't work. I was like, this seems weird. Like, this is a weird situation. But okay, yeah, that never made sense. That was I was given that phone number on the same night I met the diva, who you are
yes,
acutely aware of. Who is not my wife. It's my ex. So from there, after they leave the stationery store, Jerry and Elaine run into George and Julie, George's new girlfriend, and they're like, hey, we're going to lunch. Do you guys want to join us? And Jerry's like, no, sorry. I just had a big bowl of Kix, which is just hilarious. Such a fucking child. And Elaine's like, no, I'm okay. But if you don't mind, can you grab me something when you're there? And George is like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And she's like, oh, can you just get me a big salad? And George, he's just an asshole about it. He's like, oh, what's in the big salad? Oh, I've never seen the big salad. And, you know, so he's like kind of giving her a hard time. And she's like, can you just get it? Like, instead of stop being a dick. He's like, fine, I'll get the big salad. So then we,
is that a weird thing, by the way? Like, I've seen a salad as an entree before.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing that she gets all the time. She orders it at Monk's all the time. Or maybe this is the start of that. I don't know. But like, if you notice, she gets a salad like all the time. You know, it's the 90s. So women were dieting all the time. Just silly and dumb. Get yourself a steak. But needless to say, so he's like, all right, fine. I'll get the big salad. And yes, it is very common for people to get a salad as an entree.
Yeah.
Like that's not a surprising, shocking thing. By the way, if you ever go to Applebee's, I don't anymore. But their salads are terrible because everything they make is terrible.
Yeah, I got sick of an Applebee's last Applebee's I went to.
I haven't been to an Applebee's, let's say, 7 years. No, that's a lie. Maybe 8, like before I met my wife. It was one of the worst dining experiences I've ever had. I was like, why would anyone eat here?
Why would anyone eat at any of those themed chain restaurants? They're all terrible.
All of them. We had this conversation on a Black on Black Cinema episode that's coming up. All of those restaurants like that are awful. They're all bad.
Yeah.
Including Red Lobster. They're bad. Like, they're just not. Sorry. If your place has a bunch of shit all up on the wall, like TGI McFunsters or whatever, it's crap. It's all crap. If it's named after a day of the week, it's garbage. Okay. Ruby Tuesdays, TGI Friday, any of that, garbage. It's absolute garbage. Applebee's, garbage. My wife and I went to, we stopped. Oh, that's a lie. I have been to an Applebee's recently. My wife and I went to that wedding on like that island in Michigan, which was like crazy.
Yeah.
The fancy pants, rich people island. When we were driving through Michigan, to get to this place, to get to the island, we stopped at an Applebee's cause it was like the only thing in this like little, you know, one stop town. And we went there to get something to eat. You ever had a caprese salad?
I don't know what that is.
So a caprese salad is just fresh mozzarella, tomato, basil, right? And then like balsamic vinegar, right? Over it. It's very, very simple. It's delicious. It is my favorite salad. I mean, it's cheese and tomatoes. Like, it's really not. I mean, it's pretty basic. They don't know how to make that at Applebee's, guys. They put chicken with it and then put it over a bed of warm tomatoes. Or excuse me, a bed of warm potatoes. Why? There's four fucking ingredients. Why did you add chicken? Why? They're like, hey, bro, it's got chicken. Now it's got protein. You know, like, all right. You could just make a regular Capri salad and it's fine. No, Applebee's stinks. You like that place, do better. Go eat at other places for the love of God. Or just eat at home. Because Applebee's is also overly expensive for the quality of food you're getting.
Yeah.
It's crap. if you learn nothing from this episode, learn that. It's crap. So Jerry and Elaine back at Jerry's apartment, they have this interesting conversation about dating and how embarrassing it is that everyone knows that you're on a date and that people are watching you, which is weird. But do you ever feel that way when you were dating?
No, but when I was dating, I just I always thought about how I wish I wasn't dating.
Yeah. Like,
because I don't, especially when I was newly dating after being in a long-term relationship, because I'm like, fuck, I got to go through all the bullshit again. And I got to talk about myself. And I'm not that interesting. I'm just not. That's why I'm asking you questions, because I want to know more about you. Like, who cares about me? Right. Like, I just don't feel like
I've said that for years.
and I'm just like, and then I got to think of new places to go and different, like, I hate dating. I hate it.
That's funny. I enjoyed dating.
Of course you did. Cause you like talking about yourself.
I mean, you're not wrong. I don't appreciate the slander, but I mean, it's not completely inaccurate. No, I didn't hate dating. I always preferred not to be, you know, it's just cause there is that whole, like, I gotta find out about you. You gotta find out about me. I feel like I gotta start over every time I go out on a date with a different person. You gotta rehash the same shit over and over and over again. But at the same time, like, I enjoy meeting new people, and like, if they were interesting, it was cool. I mean, a lot of times people are not interesting.
Right. That's what I'm saying, man. Like I'm not a talker, right? So I'm a listener. So I surround myself with fucking blowhards. And
again, this slander is unnecessary.
And you know, when you are the man on the date, right? Like, you are supposed to, you know, society tells us that you're supposed to be the one to initiate all conversation and do this and that's just not me.
Right.
I hate dating. Fuck dating. I don't give a fuck if people see me on a date. I was quite the opposite, because I didn't go on a lot of dates. I wanted everybody to know that I was on a date.
I'm on a date, y'all. Look at me.
Like, look, y'all. See, I'm not gay, Dad.
Whatever. Gay dudes go on dates too. That's not an answer. Don't hide the real you. It's fine. it is really quite hilarious. Like, yeah, I guess I just never, I, it never really bothered me. I'm also on dates, especially if the company is good. I've only had a few really bad dates. Like, women seem to have way more stories, because they, you know, it's just like a fucking shotgun approach, because it's like, dudes are just like, date me, you know. Women are just like, nah. So they can be a little bit more discerning. So I didn't have a lot of bad dates, but the good ones I had, like, I'm really good on dates. Like, I can be like charming and interesting and funny and like cool with the wait staff, but not like obnoxious about it. You know, like, I can pull all those things off. I can pretend like I'm listening. you know, things like that. I'm really good at that. So even sometimes, dude, sometimes I completely lose track of what people are talking about. And that's bad on a date. And that has definitely happened to me. Like, oh. And then I do what George does in this episode, is I slickly try to change the topic to make myself seem more intelligent. Which is actually my favorite, actually probably my favorite part in this this episode. So while they're sitting around, Kramer comes in and he's like, yeah, I was playing golf with a friend of mine who's a former baseball player, and he decided to make an error in golf, and I penalized him one stroke, and he flipped out, and he stormed off. And Kramer's a real stickler for the rules, which is funny because everything about Kramer's life is anti the rules.
Right. Fucking Kramer.
So yeah, so he feels very strongly about this. Then we get to my favorite scene of the episode, where Julie and George are sitting across from each other at Monk's, and she's waxing poetically about, like, whatever artists or what have you, or writers and then the Daily News and all this other stuff. And it's clearly stuff George does not know about. Like, it is super obvious. And George is like, oh, let me bring up sports and somebody, you know, some quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. Let me bring up that person so that I can spin the conversation into something that I know about. Do you do this?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah,
I don't
see.
Fucking talk about what the hell you're talking about. Like, get out of here. No. Like, I want to talk about movies and video games. Like, that's the only thing I know about. Movies and video games. And you know, I can't talk about video games with people that don't play video games. So I have to always spin the conversation around to talk about movies. And occasionally sports. Like, I can bullshit my way through a sports conversation. I know that much about sports. Unless it's like some sort of, you know, hardcore college football guy. You know what I mean? Like, then I'm just like, look, just don't even fucking... I ain't got a team, yo. Just don't fucking bother me with this shit. But I can bullshit my way through a professional sports conversation. But, like... And now I can, now thanks to the Look Forward podcast, I know what questions to ask or to bring up to get political people talking. Mm. And then once people who love politics start talking, they don't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So I can just kick back and go back to zoning out.
Yeah. You could every 5 minutes just be like, yeah, I agree with the resistance.
Right, right. Can you believe what Donald Trump said, tweeted, did yesterday?
Like, you literally don't even have to know. You could just say that, and it would probably be like, yeah, wow, Mike is really, he's really got his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the country. I have no idea.
Right.
Look, if we can help people bullshit their way through political conversations, then we've done our job. Yeah, it is really funny. I had this sort of revelation when I was probably like 18, maybe 17 or so, maybe even younger than that, like sometime in high school, that I'd never wanted to be in a conversation with people where I didn't know what they were talking about, like whatever the topic was. Like, so, like, I know a lot of things, like I know something about a lot of things and a lot about a few things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really know a lot about what happens in politics because it's just an interest of mine. I really know movies. But other than that, I have like a general knowledge about a lot of things, right? And I'm like, yeah, like if you ask me maybe 10 questions, I'm like, cool, I can answer probably 8 of them. You start going a little deeper, I'm just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, that's great. By the way, have you seen that new movie? like you got to spin it, man. Yeah, you know, and my, I think everybody's kind of like that to some extent.
My wife will talk about her day at work. You know, she's a lawyer, and she'll go into all this policy and regulation, and I'm just like,
what?
You know what that reminds me of? That Keanu Reeves movie when he was playing a lawyer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I was like, get the fuck out of here. And then I try to spin it that way. Like, man, you would probably really like that. You know what I mean? Like,
all of a sudden, you guys are watching a Keanu Reeves movie.
Right. Like, I just,
you're watching The Devil's Advocate for its legal drama.
Right.
Fuck out of here. I love that movie, though. It's so good. Yeah, I mean, I have the same thing. Like, my wife talks about education policy, and I'm like, what? I do the Kid Rock or the Chris Rock thing, like, man, these people are crazy. Y'all tripping. She's trying to destroy you. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here. And she does the same thing with me when I'm talking about movies. She's like, yo, what's Star Wars?
Right, right.
And why are you so upset about whatever last whoever? I don't know.
Right.
Shut up about it. I'm tired of hearing about this shit. Like, yeah, you're right. So yeah, George tries to swing the conversation and he does a bad job because it's super obvious. So then he had ordered the big salad for Elaine as a takeaway. And Julie accepts the bag with the big salad in it, and she gives it to Elaine. So Elaine thanks her. So George is slightly offended that he spent the money on the big salad, but he did not get the thank you. Is that a ridiculous point of view?
No. No, it is not. No, it isn't. All right?
You don't think so?
No, I don't. Quite frankly, how dare she? take credit for that big sale. Like, I am in 100% total agreement with George. If I do something nice for somebody, I want them to know about it.
Yeah.
What's the point of doing nice shit if you don't get the recognition for it? Like, oh, it's better to give than to receive. Yeah, all right, whatever. People who say that are the ones who got acknowledged for their giving. I'm dead serious, man.
No, I'd believe you. I don't think you're even joking at all. No, I 100%. No. Now, do I think you're being ridiculous? Yes, but I believe you. I believe you 100% that is in fact your point of view.
You don't want credit for doing nice stuff.
I don't need credit for doing nice stuff all the time. Sometimes
you don't appreciate an attaboy.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but I don't think for everything I need that.
I kind of need it for a lot of stuff.
Like, okay. So for instance, and this is going to be ironic because it's kind of outing myself and henceforth giving an attaboy, right? But like this Christmas, right? Like my wife and I kind of decided like we're not going to really exchange gifts. Like we just buy whatever we want anyway. Like it's not just not that serious. And so we decided to like adopt a family to a family that has five kids mm-hmm. and get them all Christmas gifts, right? It's just like a family that doesn't have a lot of money through this. Not an organization, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to spend like $50, I think, per kid. And like this family, because they have five kids, like not a lot of people are going to sign up because it's a lot of money. But again, we don't have kids and we're not exchanging gifts between the two of us this year. So we just blew it out. Like we went to Target and just bought a bunch of shit, like clothes and toys and all this other shit. Yeah, I mean, I guess like somebody saying, oh, that's great. Like, I don't need acknowledgement for that. Like, I just did it because I thought it was a cool thing to do. Like, but.
And I think that.
But again, me saying that is kind of a weird, like, attaboy anyway. So.
And I think that that is something that you and your wife are. That you guys doing that is amazing. And it makes you amazing people.
Yeah, it does.
Now, how good? Right. How good
does that feel? I knew that's what you're doing. You're such an asshole. I mean, well, thank you. I mean, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I mean, look, it does feel good to be told, like, that was a good thing you did. But I don't need that. Like, I don't. Now, if I bought you lunch, I'm gonna need a thank you on that. So I hear you on the big salad. But, like, I feel like it's actually slightly embarrassing on the larger things. But only to a line. Like if I was a millionaire and I like built a school, I would want massive attaboys for that. But like if I was a millionaire and I spent $10,000 to help kids, I don't need an attaboy for that. You know what I mean? Like it's a, I don't know. There's a weird, for me, there's weird lines.
Look, I don't need a specific attaboy if you name that school after me.
Yeah, I feel like that might be an attaboy. The Dr. Doom School of Latverian Science and Magic. Like, this is a weird title for a school. Yeah, just put it on there, goddammit. Just put it on there.
I'm in 100% agreement with George. I want that praise. I need that praise.
Yeah, well, you're a petty, petty person. I mean, that is so obvious. So from there, Jerry finds out. So George tells Elaine when they're in a cab together that, hey, actually, I'm the one who paid for the big salad. And she's just like, all right, what the fuck is your problem? She hits him with the fucking steward. And then we cut back to Jerry and his girlfriend, Margaret. And you come to find out because Newman comes over to talk to Kramer. Because Kramer, the guy he was playing golf with, is now being accused of murdering a dry cleaner. Newman comes over while Jerry's sitting there with his girlfriend. You come to find out that she had been dating Newman previously. And that freaks Jerry out. And then he comes to find out that Newman broke up with her, which is insane. Is there a person that you know that if you found out your wife now, before when you guys were dating, if you found out somebody that you were friends with had dated her, would you not date her?
Yes.
Is that any, yeah. is it a specific person or any of your friends?
Probably any, but,
is there someone that you would find disgusting?
Yeah. And I'll save that name because I will pose that because I have a feeling that just in case you come up with some old bullshit, like, no, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm going to throw out that name and then you're going to have a problem with it.
No, you're not going to have that opportunity because I can tell you 100% that I would have a problem with it. And if it's who I think you're thinking of, then you're 100% correct.
It's not who I guarantee you the name that I'm thinking of is not the name that you are thinking of. But yeah. All right. I'll put it this way. If you found out that your wife was rejected by Larkin.
That's funny because the two names I was thinking of was Larkin and this other person who I will just say, how do I say this without being too rude?
You could just say it. Nobody's listening.
No, people, of course people are listening. Let's just say that around Thanksgiving time, I saw the beginnings of the most disgusting macaroni and cheese recipe being prepared by a person in that person's influence. Do you remember that?
That does not narrow it down for me at all. You're going to have to tell me that name.
It starts with an R.
Okay. All right.
No. No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, I would pull a Jerry. She'd be like, kiss me. And I'd be like, I can't. No. Gross.
You know, it's fucked up. Like, I'm watching this scene.
By the way, is that the other name that you were thinking of?
Yes.
Of course it is, because I know you're an asshole.
I'm watching the scene and I don't know what it is, but because the thought was put into my head, like I see her in a different way. The woman in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if they just don't put makeup on her. I don't know if they give her different lighting, but yeah, I kind of see it, right? Like,
I feel like they ugged her up a bit,
but like ever so slightly, right?
Yeah,
like because she looks very
yeah they fucked her up. I feel like it ain't right. It's wrong. It's very wrong. Oh boy.
No, you can't. I don't necessarily need The woman doesn't have to be a virgin, because I don't like fucking virgins either. But no, I can't know you. I can't be Eskimo brothers.
No, you. Man. No. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I'm just not interested in that. And I certainly would not be if that was the deal. Nah, I am solidly not okay with it. Damn it. All right. Next up. So from there, Elaine goes to the stationery store to talk to the guy because she has picked up one of these mechanical pencils elsewhere, and he's like, I got into the fight with a foreman, to get that pencil. And she's like, fine, I'm really sorry about that. And he's like, well, you're sorry? Well, why don't you go on a date with me? And she's like, ugh, fine. No. I'd be like, no. Thanks for getting the pencil, asshole. Get out of my face. Not obligated. Fuck that guy.
I would feel guilty.
I wouldn't even gone back to get the pencil. How about that?
Yeah.
Nope. I can say that 100%. No. You would actually feel guilty if it was some creep.
If I ran into somebody and they put that case out there, I would feel guilty. I wouldn't go out on a date.
You would give this woman a fake number that you've been rejected.
You know what?
Hotline.
Yeah, because turnabout is fair play. It all comes full circle, and whatever other cliche you want to use.
There you go. Yeah, no, I'm not going out on a date via guilt. Like, no.
Would you guilt someone into a date like that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Kind of have to, right?
I mean, we're guys. I mean, look, buy these Ticonderoga pencils or get out. No one else is buying them. They're garbage. Yeah, so then Jerry goes to confront Newman, and he's like, yo, what's the deal with this? You dating this woman? I need to know. And Newman is basically like, she just didn't do it for me. I like prettier girls. I'd have fought him in that house right
then,
dude.
He said, I like a really pretty face.
Yo, what the fuck? Yeah. It's fucked up, man. It's unacceptable behavior. How dare you? And of course, this absolutely freaks Jerry out. Like, he is distraught. Which is understandable, because again, if I found out that that woman, my girlfriend, was dating a particular person before me, I'd be like, no, this is no. And then that he broke up with her, get out of here. No, she's damaged goods. She's ruined. Julie then tells George about how she suspects that he went out of his way to tell Elaine that he bought the big salad. And he's like, well, I did. And how dare you take credit and all this other stuff. And she was like, I just handed her the bag. And it was just kind of funny. It's that revelation. Like, he walks out and he's like, or she walks out and he's kind of like, yeah, she's right. Like, yeah, I'm just being ridiculous. But it's already too late because he is being ridiculous.
So, of course, this happened in real life.
To Larry David.
Yeah, of course. Jesus.
He must have been a nightmare to be with. He really must be, dude.
It happened between him and the show's editor.
Yo, how anyone deals with Larry David is beyond me, dude. It really is beyond me. Like, he is insane. Like, he is an insane person. I mean, God bless, but he is straight up crazy. Straight up crazy. But yeah, I don't really get it. I just don't know how anyone hasn't strangled the fuck out of Larry David in my life. Like, I love all his shows, man, but like, yo, you're just an insane person. Like, nah, you gotta go. You gotta go, fam. You gotta go. So they break up because George is crazy. Elaine is, excuse me, Jerry is obsessed with Newman's ex, as I will refer to her. And she's like, he's staring at her face, like really hardcore staring at her face. She's like, why are you staring at my face? And he's like, where else am I supposed to look? And it's clear that he's like checking her out. And then she's like, just kiss me.
Is where I think they uglied her up, right? Like, I don't remember her looking like this in the previously in the episode.
Yeah, I'm skipping back in the episode right now and trying to figure out like what she looks like.
Like, it just didn't. And I'm feeling Jerry, man. I'm feeling him right here. Like, I can't do it.
You wouldn't kiss this girl?
Nah, I wouldn't, yo. I wouldn't. Because just imagine, like, Larkin's big ass fucking.
Yeah, well, what if you found out he dated your wife? Even I feel like you'd have to murder him.
That might be grounds for divorce.
She was like,
her own safety.
Like, she would just be like, no, but he just had a lot going on in his life. He was just such a good person. He was so compelling. Like, a conversationalist. He was just so compelling.
He was another one of my blowhard friends. Like, just a dude that just loved talk.
He was nice way guy. Worse than I am.
He was a nice guy. He was you if you were a fucking, like,
an
Uber
asshole?
Nerd.
Yeah, and I am an Uber nerd, but I also know how to, like, talk to people.
No, I mean, like, Uber nerd and, like, that's it.
Oh, yeah, I, like, have nothing else going on?
Yeah, you don't have anything else to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, that is not the case.
He was a nice guy, but...
Nah, I don't need that.
Nah, I don't.
I'm good. So then after they all break up, because she tosses Jerry out of the car, by the way, because he refuses to kiss her, which is just a hilarious physical comedy bit. Jerry, George, and Elaine are back at Jerry's apartment, and George is yelling at Elaine because she had to get the big salad, and that's what caused all these shenanigans. Meanwhile, they turn on TV and they see Kramer is driving a white Bronco and driving this former baseball player who's being chased by the cops, you know, mirroring the O.J. Simpson, Al Cowlings situation, which is kind of funny.
That joke is of its time.
Very much so.
Yeah, it doesn't really translate well unless you... were aware of what was going on at the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it was a risque, slightly risque joke back then.
Because,
you know, the guy murdered a couple people.
Yeah, like that's not a joke.
Right. They're using footage of him fleeing from a scene as a gag.
Right. Yeah, I mean
it doesn't translate.
No, it doesn't work nearly as well in 2017, but that's okay. That's just a product of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, any parting words on this episode?
I enjoyed the big salad. I thought it was a solid episode. It's pretty funny. The next one. Oh, I remember the next one. Yeah, I used to do this with the next one.
Oh boy. Wow. Okay. I know what the next one is. I'm very interested to hear that. So this episode, the next episode will also come out this week since we kind of missed last week. So we're going to hit you with two episodes this week. So look forward to the pledge drive is coming up. All right. Yes. That'll probably be out on Thursday or Friday. All right, guys, we will see you next time for Airing of Grievances.
See ya.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?